Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it! Whoa!
Good morning, Woody Slowick at the Build Mississippi Studios. Right here in Jackson, we're doing the home repair show, a handyman show. This is the Rock and Roll Handyman Show on Super Talk, and we'll be taking your calls, and you're welcome to text us anytime, any questions that you might have. You can text us at 601-879-4395. That's 601-879-4395. That's our C-Spire text line. And if you'd like to call in live, do so. Hey, we'll put you on there, and we'll yak about what you want to yak about, whatever it may be. 888-808-8637 is our phone number. You're welcome to call or to text or just listen if that's all you want to do. Just don't shut us off. Well, some people don't even turn it on. But we're going to get to those people sooner or later, one way or other, at any rate. Welcome to the Handyman Show, and we are going to talk about all sorts of things today that can really be beneficial to you, as well as the second segment. We're going to have Family Termite and Environmental Services are going to be part of what we're doing in the second service. Thomas Trammell is going to be on the phone with us, and we'll talk about what they do and their pest control situation there. Termite situation there. What are their environmental services? We'll get to the bottom of all that in a little while, and we'll talk about it. Until then, we're going to talk about some things that I have that just to discuss. I can talk to discuss, and also anything you may send in, we'll be happy to try to answer your question. I don't know that we'll answer it correctly, but we'll put some effort into it anyway. And if we don't know the answer, we will find out for you.
And I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night, so, you know, I'm good. I can answer any question that you got, and I'm very qualified.
You did stay at a Holiday Inn last night. Well, okay.
You know that old commercial. Well, I did stay at a Holiday Inn. Yeah, you can give heart surgery after you stay at a Holiday Inn.
You stay at a Holiday Inn, you're all better now.
You get thrown to jail for that one, but, you know, like impersonating a lawyer. But, yeah, handyman stuff now. Anything I don't need a license for today, I'm on.
I'm kidding.
Don't hold me to it, guys.
We're
going to defer to Buddy, the expert, and I'm here in support.
We're just here to have some fun.
I'm here to tote the tool belt and the tools.
That's right. The helper on the job. And Lance is all over the place, just everywhere, doing all sorts of things with the TVs in here and the audio sounds and things coming up. And later on, of course, we'll do a music segment. This later on. Been a lot of questions lately about a metal roof shingle. Not metal strip roofing or screw-down metal roofing the seamless type, but metal roofing that actually looks like a roof shingle, an asphalt roof shingle. They're making a bunch of different styles out there, but the one that is getting most play is one that looks a lot like an architectural shingle, and it's got a metal core, but also is has a stone finish on it or a granular finish on it. So when it's up on the roof, it's very hard to tell that it's not an architectural roof shingle made out of asphalt. It looks very similar, and it's lighter, a lot lighter, and it's reported to perform a lot better. Not a lot of that has happened in this mid-Mississippi area, but it is a very good product. It does seem to, I don't know, it hasn't taken off yet. Here, at any rate. And I don't know that it will, because still I'm in favor of the best roof that anybody can get a hold of is an architectural roof shingle, and then it must be installed correctly, which, you know, you've heard me say probably 20 times every show that the important element in any project that anybody is doing is the installation of. And then, of course, the product that you choose is very important, too, as well. And shingles, there are a lot of choices in color and weights and sizes, and there are just brands. There's probably I can think of half a dozen brands out there for sure. But as long as it's a quality brand name, one that you're very familiar with, I think you're in pretty good shape. But if you're looking for that metal roof shingle, there are places that can get them for you. Decra XD makes some, and they're coated metal that looks very much like an architectural shingle. But again, not much is being used here in Mississippi. But what we are finding out, that they do to put on a metal roof, it does cost 2 to maybe 3 times more than an architectural roof would cost. Lifetime warranty. But keep in mind, if we get a large hailstorm with some decent size hail, that can dent the metal roof. That can, of course, that can also dent your architectural roof, but that means the replacement of your roof. And I'm sure the insurance company will look at it. I don't know what insurance thinks about metal roofing yet. They may have, I'm sure they have a system in place to take care of damaged metal roofing because they insure it. But I don't know what that is, and I don't know how, whether they're up to speed on the replacement of, or if, you know, the problem right now is to get a metal roof, you need to order the number of squares, which is 100 square feet. A square is 100 square feet, by the way. But you need to order enough roof shingles to cover your entire project and maybe a bundle or two extra to keep around. That's a pretty tough little number to hit to try to estimate exactly how many roof shingles, how many square roof shingles you're going to need and have a few, maybe a bundle or two left over for replacement. Because you, when it comes time to replace it, you certainly don't want to have to go back to the place that you bought it originally and have them get you a couple more bundles, because that's going to take some time. And then things change in the industry world all the time. And with that change, it may be a different type of shingle. It may be a different color. So it's not a bad idea if you're going to use that. Check it out and do some research on it first and make sure that's the way you want to go. It's recommended that it's the kind of shingle you'd put on your roof if you had planned on staying in your house for a long time, like forever, which is a little different than, just re-shingling your house and living in it for only 5 years. There's no real gain in it. But there is gain in metal roofing because, one, it's very energy efficient. It makes the ventilation in your roofing system a whole lot better because each shingle has a little bit of air vent that allows air into it. And they're great, great products. But who knows? It hasn't taken off around here yet. There are a number of roofing companies in the mid-central Mississippi area who can get that and do deal with that and know a little bit about the how to install it and how it should be installed correctly where you won't have problems later. But the manufacturers say that because it's so light that it's okay for a roof over type situation. That means covering your existing roofing with this product. I'm not in favor of that whatsoever. I think any roof over, you're really a victim of what lies underneath the roof shingle. The other layer of roof shingle that's under there is old, and there may be leaks in the sheathing. There may be leaks through the felt paper. And those leaks may get seem like they go away for the first period of time, but after about a year, you'll start having leaks again, and to find where a leak is through a metal roof is just not an easy chore. And it's a more difficult situation than finding a roof, a leak in an asphalt roof shingle. So, yeah, there's pros and cons with it for sure, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it as time goes on. We'll hear more about metal roof shingles, and hey, when we do, we'll tell you what we know. But right now, there's not a lot of that going on in this area. So that doesn't mean there won't be after a period of time. But roof over can create so many problems that can... I don't think you should roof over anything. Not asphalt shingles, not metal roofs, not metal roof shingles or anything at all. But these metal shingles are available also in sidewall-type shingles that look like, on the coastline up north, what they use is a lot of white cedar shingles that turn to a gray patina, they call it. And that means they age and they turn gray. And if they get old enough, they start to actually curl up. So you want to stay away from that if you can help it. But they do make metal shingles or even a composite shingle strips that go on the sidewall that actually look like shingles, very much so. And as a matter of fact, when they're on a sidewall and applied on a sidewall properly, they just don't look like anything but a great sidewall shingle. Surprise, surprise, they're not. They're either composite or metal in most cases. But in our market, we use a lot of what's called a fiber cement board or hardy plank. That's being used very much for siding in this neighborhood, in this state, as a matter of fact. We use very little vinyl siding, even though there are some houses with a good bit of vinyl siding on them. We use it more for our soffits and whatnot than we would anywhere else. But when you head up to other states, you'll find that vinyl siding is being used an awful, awful lot. A lot of new houses and even some expensive houses are sided with vinyl siding. I think the best siding you can put on your house is brick. I mean, brick is just such a great, great, great product. Brick is timeless. And when you put up a brick wall on like three sides of your house, and you may have the front with a facade of some sort of siding, you use like a fiber cement siding, and then you use brick on all the other sides of the house. I'm not going to say you have a maintenance-free house, but you have about as close as you can get to one as in having that product, because the brick is timeless. I mean, it won't age. It won't. It just doesn't, you know, look bad after 10, 20 years, as long as you keep it relatively clean. And the worst it's going to need is maybe you'll have a crack in the mortar line, and the mortar will need to be repaired with they make actually mortar repair out of caulking in caulking guns, and you can put a caulking gun up there and strip it and just fill in all the cracks in the mortar. Now, also, you can repoint it if that's necessary, which is a tedious chore because you end up going over your entire area of roof shingle, of brick around the house, and repointing can be done, and in some cases it needs to be done, particularly in older type construction, because the mortar starts to decay after a period of time and fall out of place. So the best thing we can do is repoint it. And you better get ready, because that's a chore, folks. Repointing is something that's going to take some time, and it really does take a lot of effort in doing that. Hey, let me take a minute and tell you about Rebel Ace Hardware, one of the better hardware stores. The sound of my voice, Rebel Ace Hardware. Man, they really have got it going, particularly on Saturdays. They really do something special at Rebel Ace Hardware. Check them out. Go see some of their locations. There are many stores throughout central Mississippi, and on Saturdays it's always a special day at any Rebel Ace Hardware. They always want to make Saturday a little different than the rest of the week. They cook sometimes, they show sometimes, they have reps on board that can tell you about a particular product. which, and they have many products. And then there's their Power Outdoor Equipment Center in Pearl. Revel really does have that Power Outdoor Equipment Center that is so, so well stocked. They've got everything you'll ever need, zero turn mowers and push mowers and just riding mowers that are not zero turn, but may have a steering wheel. Also, they do the repairs on those and can help you so very much. Revel Ace Hardware, great hardware store. Customer service is what they care about and what they do better than anybody. When you walk in the door at Revel Ace Hardware, somebody is going to greet you and help you and take you to the portion part of the store which may have the product that you want. Revel Ace Hardware, great hardware store. Go see them. Tell them you heard about them right here on the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. Broadcasting from the Build, Mississippi Studios. And we're enjoying it very much, having a good time here this morning, and going to continue to have a good time. So, if you have any questions at all or comments, text us or call us, either or. We'd love to have texts coming in, and we read them on the air or put them up on the screen or whatever. Is, you know, you send us pictures, we'll put it on the screen, as long as it's not X-rated. Well, I don't know. That is Lance. You have to put anything.
I'll do a little research here. We can get away with there you go. A little FCC research in here. Call them up.
We've gotten away with a lot in the past few years that we've done this handyman show. And I don't know how we get away with it, but we do.
It's wholesome. It's wholesome fun for the family.
There you go.
We're thinking of the people.
We are.
It's always a blast to come in on Saturday and get to start off with gardening and then round it out by lunch with some handymanning.
Yeah, we have a good time. That's what Saturday is supposed to be, a day of, I don't know, it's a day where a lot of people do some work around the house, but it also is sort of a day of R&R where we get away from our weekly routine, going to work every day. And hopefully that's an enjoyable experience for you, even if it does exhaust you from time to time, which it very well could exhaust you from time to time. 5 days a week, sitting behind a desk looking at a computer screen or multiple computer screens can be really tedious from time to time. And then there's the outside salesmen who are already getting it. It's great they're back in town and not traveling as much. So good luck to all you folks, and I hope you have a great Saturday. But at any rate, getting back to the handyman stuff, everybody seems to be growing vegetables in the yard. And I know that's kind of like a garden mama's area, but there's so much of that going on that it's unbelievable that people are actually building up all sorts of areas. And we'll come back with Thomas Trammell and Family Termite. Don't you go away. We'll be back in just a few minutes on the Rock and Roll Handyman Show.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
If recent health...
You're gonna need 'em. quit right here.
All right, back again at the Build Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy, and my guest is Thomas Trammell. I'm from Family Termite. He's with us on the phone, and we're happy to have him on board this morning. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Buddy.
How are you today?
Man, I'm doing fabulous.
Are you awake?
I am very much awake.
All right. Then we can just aggravate the stew out of you. That's what we intend to do. Family Termite and Environmental Service. I was playing with a computer yesterday, as I do many times, and started looking at your website, and the reviews were, like, spectacular. You guys really do a good job and have a very good reputation for that. Not only do you do great service, but you do a good job as far as dealing with people is concerned. And not every business does that. A lot of people think that just doing a good job is good enough. You seem to know that not only do you have to do a good job, but you have to please the customer and make them happy when you're going about it as well. And your company and everybody who works for you out on the road working that situation is really good at it. Is that something you give a lot of practice and a lot of care to?
Yes, sir. We talk about customer service on a daily basis. You know, being an expert in your field and being an expert with people are usually two different things. And
right.
Bringing those two things together and being people that feel like family in your home and treating your customers like family is what we're all about. So outside of all of the training and due diligence that we do to make sure that we are up to par on the newest, latest, and greatest technology when it comes to pest control and termite control and environmental services, we take special care in creating a customer service experience that makes the customer feel that they're at home and not just some number in a computer system.
Yeah, which is well, I always preach on this show many, many, many times. I've said it, and I'll say it again. Customer service is probably one of the more important products that any company tries to sell. It's very, very important to customer service, and it's great that you do that kind of thing and that your company does. And you've got your company, and you have a great reputation for that customer service situation. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of Family Termite. Again, let's talk a little bit about termite. What's the story? Is it something that we need to be really worried about, or is it something that you can take the concern and worry away from us?
Okay, so yes and no.
Okay.
So termites alone do between $11 and $15 billion of damage per year in the United States.
Whoa.
The southeast region of the U.S. is the hottest area for termites in the United States, and we take about 75% of that damage. We take it here in the southeast U.S.
Yeah.
So Mississippi and Florida and Louisiana being the worst of the worst when it comes to termites.
Wow.
So I can't take away the fear, but at the same time, having a good inspection on your home, knowing where your property stands, and making sure that you have a good treatment and a good protocol set in by a good termite and pest control company is key to making sure that you protect your most valuable asset, which is your home.
Sure. We do a lot of things to protect our homes and make it a better place to be, but a lot of times that aspect, that termite treatment on a regular basis or inspection on a regular basis, is somehow sometimes overlooked.
It is, because termites are so small, and it's something that people don't really pay a lot of attention to until they have an issue. And once there's an issue, there's already damage, and there's already money that will have to be spent and repairs that will have to be made. You know, looking from the outside, you can't see it. So if you can't see it, then it usually gets put on the back burner. Termite damage does more. Termites do more damage to our homes that are unprotected than rain, tornadoes, hurricanes, all the weather combined together.
Nasty little critters, aren't they?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Thomas. You know, in the new home building side, you'll have new homeowners will be like, well, it's new. I don't have to worry about that. But with new homes, what do you recommend as far as termite contract treatments and those things? Because new homes get them just as quick as an old home. Isn't that right?
A new home can't – any house, and it doesn't matter how much the house costs, who builds it. Every house is susceptible because we build our structures out of cellulose material. And so even a brand new home needs protection. Now, in the state of Mississippi, it's required in every county except for two in the entire state to have the home pretreated before you build a new structure. So usually there will be a underlying termite treatment that's done at the beginning of the home building process. It's actually after they clear the land and they dig the dirt out to pour the concrete, that's when we come in and we treat a pretreatment application, which we call in the industry a horizontal treatment. Right. So we treat that soil before they pour the concrete.
Well, I'm just so amazed that there are even two counties in Mississippi that don't require that. That just blows me away. I mean, to me, it's like... it's probably the most important thing you can do in building a house. You've got to protect it.
Exactly. And in the state of Mississippi, we have on average about 18 termite colonies per square acre. So you do that math real quick, and it adds up. So there's always pressure on a structure of any kind, commercial or residential, no matter what it be made out of, whether it's a metal building that's going to have sheetrock and wood frame studs inside of it, or even an aluminum studded building will still have sheetrock to some point, and that sheetrock has paper on it and paper cellulose, and termites get right in it. In fact, I see them more in they're visually appeasable to metal structures with metal studs because there's nothing else except for the sheetrock for them to get to, so you see them faster in those in those types of structures.
That makes nothing but good sense.
Well, you know, in hunting, you know, the duck hunter, his favorite prey is the duck. Well, obviously, an ant really likes termites, but you don't want to have 48 ant mounds in your yard out there because then you have a problem with ants. Ants like to eat termites. But are there other conditions you can create that are helpful to keep termites away from the house instead of attracting them to the house?
Well, ants and termites are natural enemies, and unfortunately, ants don't eat termites, but they do battle with them quite often. But there's a lot more termites than there are ants.
Wow.
Yeah, it said, I was reading some facts that it said that the total weight of all the termites in the world is actually more than the total weight of all the humans in the world.
Wow.
By 14.
Wow.
Man. If you were to put us on a big scale, they're about 14 times heavier than we are.
Man. Wow. So it makes good sense to
get the treatment. We got to find a way to eat them. You got to learn how to eat them things. Yeah.
I tell you what, Lance, you find a way to eat them. I don't want any. I don't think Thomas wants any either.
They're a delicacy in some countries.
Yeah, like in some African areas, and I think, they're a delicacy, actually.
Well, there's a lot of food in the world that can be a delicacy, but...
we don't eat houses, but they do.
I have no desire to have any of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I would even put syrup on a house and eat it, but they like them.
Well, let's move on then. Pest control, what does that entail?
Well, we have about 55,000 species of insects in the state of Mississippi that we deal with on a daily basis.
A few, then.
We have quite a few. So there are tons and tons of different insect populations that would love to invade your home, and your house is a perfect house for them.
Yeah.
They're looking for the same things that we look for. They look for food, water, and shelter. They're looking for a warm environment when it's cold outside and a cool environment when it's hot outside. So they will invade your house at different seasons of the year, depending on the temperature and depending on the circumstances that surround your structure.
Right.
So things that we can do outside of pest control are keep our yard nice and tidy, keep debris, wood debris, keep... edible plants away from the structure, and keep the windows and doors sealed. Keep a good caulking and silicone around all of your cracks and crevices on the outside of the home. Make sure your siding's up to par. All the regular maintenance that you would do on your house actually helps a lot to help prevent infestations of regular insects or household insects into a structure.
Yeah, because you're right. We're building houses on their land where they used to live, and they're trying to get back. They realize that getting back inside the house is probably a better deal. And you're right, if things are not caulked and sealed, and if you have infiltration of any kind, an insect will find that and get inside and create their damage.
And for termites, we build our homes on top of their colonies out of their food supply.
Wow. Wow.
We're just asking for it.
Yeah, he's right. Well, it keeps you in business, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and big business it is, folks. Family Termite and Environmental Service covers so much ground as far as regular care and maintenance and customer service. What is entailed with a contract against pest control or termite? Tell us a little bit about the contracts that are available.
Okay, so with termites, a contract will consist of an initial treatment or initial inspection to see where your property stands and what kind of issues that you have and what kind of conducive areas that you would have that would cause termites to get in or have an area that might be an avenue for termites to get in. And then, of course, after that, after an initial inspection, a proper treatment customized to your specific structure, and then a yearly or biannually contract to have that home inspected on a regular basis. That will keep the house safe, and it will let you know what you got going on, and it also gives your termite and pest control company an opportunity to keep the home treated to a level where they can keep termites from getting in, because like I said, you always have that pressure. So you're not going to kill all the termites that are out there, but we got to keep them off of our homes and our structures and protect our families.
This isn't really anything more than just serious maintenance. It's maintenance that should really be done everywhere and on every house. Unfortunately, it's not. And the people who don't have contracts need to really understand the situation a whole lot better and understand that, particularly like you said in the beginning, with a regular stick-built house, most of the damage occurs long before it shows up, long before people can see it.
At up to 7 years, termites can be doing damage inside of a wall before they make a visual product of damage where you can visually see it.
In other words, they get their fill of cellulose in the two-by's, and then they end up finally getting the cellulose from the sheetrock.
Well, they never stop foraging, so even though they find a food supply, they continuously look for the next food supply at the same time. So they may be attacking the sill plate on the inside of that stud wall, and then at the same time, they may be 14 feet down the wall attacking the trim, and then 14 feet down another wall, and they've went up, and they're in the sheetrock below the windowsill.
So they're just tenacious little boogers, aren't they?
That's correct. And this time of the year, we have termites swarming, and so once a colony gets to be large enough where it wants to expand its colony into other colonies and move that DNA, which is what they do, they create what are called alates, which are the winged swarmers,
right,
the flying termites. And those come out, and they come out a lot. There'll be a ton of them flying around all over the place looking for a mate, trying to start a new colony. And a lot of times, our inside of our home's conditions, 80% humidity, and you get the temperature up to about 80 degrees. So these people that don't like to run the AC or could get that AC on quite quick enough or enough, they have high humidity inside the home, will have these swarm events, and they can happen any time of the year. Now, naturally occurring outside, this is the time of the year that they swarm. Yesterday, I believe we had 60 swarm calls.
Wow.
From around the Jackson metro area only.
Wow.
We had about 60 swarm calls. I don't know how many we had throughout the whole state, but we had about 60 in the Jackson metro area. I looked at that number this morning.
In a very short period of time. It's like, and swarms really seem to, people seem to panic more at swarms than they would at a regular treatment, because it falls under what you can't see, you don't care too much about. You should, and that's part of what Thomas is talking about on the air here, you need to be aware of how to take care of your home properly. It's all part of the maintenance. Thomas, can you stick with us just a little while?
I'm with you as long as you'll have me.
All right, we're going to keep Thomas on for a little while. You're listening to the Handyman Show, Build Mississippi Studios at Super Talk. My name is Buddy Sloak. We'll be right back. Don't go away with Thomas.
Get ready to immerse yourself in a celebration of wildlife, nature, and community spirit at the first ever Mississippi Wildlife Heritage Festival, set to take place May 3rd and 4th in historic downtown Leland, Mississippi. This free two-day extravaganza promises to be an unforgettable experience for outdoor enthusiasts and families alike. Combining the best of Frog Fest, the 32nd annual Crawfish Festival, and the 4th annual Mockingbird Songwriters Music Festival featuring some of Music City's biggest hit songwriters. All four festivals coming together for one real good time. For information and updates, visit LelandChamber.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at MS Wildlife Heritage Festival. This event is hosted in part by the Leland Chamber of Commerce, Mississippi Wildlife Heritage Museum, and the Highway 61 Blues Project. For more information on how to become a vendor or sponsor this event, visit us at LelandChamber.com.
The
Show right here at the Build Mississippi Studios. My guest still with us is Thomas Trammell with Family Termite. And a couple more things we wanted. Lance got something right away he wanted to ask
you. Yeah, Thomas, I was, we rebuilt a cabin, and it's that time of year where people have their second homes they may not have been to in a couple of months. They're getting to them, they're going to them. They've got the cabin in the woods, maybe the RV. And I know that the air conditioning units are prone for dirt daubers to get up in there and stop them up. Could you tell us, if you know off the top of your head, that spray that you can spray on like an AC vent about once a year to keep the bugs like dirt daubers from getting up in that thing and messing it up?
So there are a lot of products out there. What I would probably recommend, there is a product called Bifin IT. You can get it at your local co-op. Most co-ops carry products that have bifenthrin in them. It is a good repellent product that has Bifen IT. The reason I recommend that specific product, is, and I'm not sponsored by them or anything, but it is the closest to a professional-grade product that you can purchase yourself.
How did you say that again so that we can get a hold of that? That's good information.
It's Bifen, B-I-F-E-N.
Oh, Bifen. Okay.
IT, like it.
Bison it. Huh, sounds good. Sounds like what we, you know, something we can look into at any rate.
Yeah, I got a bunch of the guys that have cabins. They swear by that. And I know from experience, I mean, I even had frogs get in there 10 feet off the ground into a window unit. I put a mini split back in it this time. And I wanted to make sure, because I know I've had that issue. I've talked to others that have had the same thing. And when you put that spray on that Bifen, you know, it really does repel those types of problems. And thank you for mentioning a specific brand and where we can get it, because that stuff's huge. It makes a huge difference. Saves you a lot of money in the long run.
It does, and that is a active ingredient that we use professionally. We use a commercial grade version of it, but that is a residential use product that you guys can purchase.
And it should be said, and I think it should be known, that you can purchase products that claim that they will protect you from any sort of pest infestation, but it should be known, and you've said this before, that most of the products that you get over the counter aren't as good as the products that a company like yourself would have. They don't have the strength.
It's not necessarily the strength. It's the endurance. It doesn't. They don't last.
Yes.
So it's kind of like if you've ever been to a mechanic and got your car fixed, just about every mechanic shop will have a sign in there that says you can have it fast and cheap or slow and right. You know. And pest control products are a lot the same. Now, if you get an instant kill product, something that kills the insect instantly,
yes,
then you're going to kill what's there right then. But that product's not going to last very long at all. So sprays, aerosols, things of that nature. Now, we use those professionally as well, because a lot of times when we use an aerosol, we use it for that exact purpose. We don't want it to last for a long time. We're trying to use a high-potency chemical to get a quick kill up front, and then we use a long-term chemical, such as a repellent or a non-repellent, depending on the situation, behind those aerosols to give a residual left behind that can last for a long time.
You know, I was babysitting a house one time that had an insect problem, and I called you, and you guys came out, and that's exactly what happened. They used an aerosol to stop the immediate infestation, and then they place products in and around to stop future infestations for the long run. And I was just—I was blown away because I didn't realize that was taking place.
Well, we had a question, actually a comment, where one of our listeners said that Bifarin works good for termites and for boring bees. And I wanted to—that was going to be my next question—was really the carpenter bees, the boring bees that you see that just eat up everything. Looks like you got 45-70 bullet holes in your soffin and all that. Is there anything you would recommend other than that Bifarin, or is there? Is that basically, you know, for maintenance and taking care of your own stuff on a daily basis? Is that a good option?
So when it comes to a wood boring bee, a carpenter bee, what you have a situation of is untreated, unsealed wood. So that's what they're going into. If you're getting holes bored into wood by a carpenter bee, then that wood is unsealed and it's untreated. And so that's exactly what you need to do to it to prevent further infestations of those bees. Now, that being said, if there are carpenter bee eggs, if they have laid larvae, if they've infested that wood already, then there will be a baby bee emerging soon out of those holes. And so you can seal it up and treat it all you want to, but that baby bee is going to come out. Carpenter bees are reinfestors, so they go back to the same areas each year. So if you're seeing carpenter bee problems, then you need to, A, treat the wood, B, seal the holes, and then C, seal the wood by product of polyurethane or paint. Stain will not seal your wood. I see people say, oh, I stained the wood. Well, that doesn't prevent carpenter bees from getting in because it still absorbs moisture. They have to seal the wood with a wood sealer product. I do not recommend Thompson's Water Seal because it has sugar in it, and so it will cause other problems other than bees.
Yeah, that's a danger master. Put sugar in a product, danger master. Well, Thomas, can you think of anything else that we should share with the public before we get phone number from you?
Number one, protect your home, protect your business, protect your family. If you have the ability to do it yourself and you're a DIY guy, if you're a handyman listening to this show, which probably 99% of us that listen to it on a daily basis are, research your products. Call and ask for help. Ask for a professional's opinion before you just go down to the local big box store and purchase something that may be expired, because residential use products do not have to have an expiration date on them.
Wow. Wow, and but yet as they get older, they lose their lasting power.
Well, when you have a concentrated chemical, from the day that it is manufactured, it starts to lose its potency. Also, it starts to lose its mixture. So a lot of times, those products aren't mixed up well anymore. There are lots of different kinds of chemical compositions that that they sell, and so you have emulsifiable concentrates, and that active ingredient is suspended in the product in a lot of different ways. So what kind of product it is matters just as much as what the active ingredient is or the name brand of the product.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good information, and a Family Termite and Environmental Service, they're a wonderful, wonderful company. You'll never be sorry you called them. You'll be happy you did. Thomas, what number should they call, and what should they expect when they make that call?
They can reach us at our phone at 601-933-1014. And you can expect a live person to answer that phone on regular business days, Monday through Friday. Or they can reach us at our website at www.family-termite.com. We also have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the things. You can look us up just about anywhere. But the website and our telephone number are probably the easiest two ways to contact us. We even have all of it all nice and techie, so you can get a mobile application website, so you can check us on your phone or your iPad or whatever.
All right. Well, we thank you very much. We're about to run out of time. Thomas Chapman with Family Termite and Environmental Service. Thank you very much, Thomas. I hope you have a great weekend.
You guys too. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show at the Build Mississippi Studios. Be back in just a few minutes with a music segment. Don't you go away.
Super Talk. Nobody keeps Mississippi informed like we do. With 12 stations covering all 82 counties, if it happens in your state, we're on top of it. The news, the weather, the sports, and the talk that's important to you. The issues that matter to you, your family, and your bank account. It's all right here. And when you're away from home, depend on the Super Talk app and supertalk.fm to stay in the know. We're proud to serve our fellow Mississippians. Super Talk Mississippi.
This is professional ballplayer and former Mississippi State Bulldog, Jake Mangum. As someone who spends a lot of time between Mississippi and New York, I can tell you firsthand how great new things can be. That's why the new auto and life insurance discount from Farm Bureau is so great. It's a new thing from the company that's been setting roots in Mississippi for over 75 years. Visit favrates.com for great rates on home and auto insurance. Or find a local agent at msfbins.com. Farm Bureau Insurance. Go with the home team.
In Mississippi.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear
I just have to laugh because in the promo it says boils down to just two words, and then they go on and speak about 14 words. Hey, Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi at the Build Mississippi Studios, and this is the music segment. And I thought we'd just do kind of a bunch of real good songs. They just kind of have some fun with them. But Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, I think she's absolutely fantastic, and I don't know if you're familiar with Grace Potter and the Nocturnals or not, but she grew up in a commune kind of in Vermont, and her parents were straight, they were hippies, and she grew up in that kind of environment. Her dad worked was a professional woodworker. He did very well in woodworking, and her mother was a piano teacher, and her sister was a glass artist, where she would take blown glass and actually turn it into different, you know, how people who blow glass can do amazing things. But she grew up in that environment and recorded in a barn and did all of her practicing in a barn. And her first albums were done like in a barn in a local studio. But Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, let's give a little listen to the lion, the beast. And the lion, the beast, and the beat. Grace Potter.
Mm-hmm.
She can sing, too, and she writes really well. Grace Potter has been a favorite of mine for a long, long time, and I really do enjoy listening to what she has. Her albums are tremendous. I hope you have had the opportunity to see some of the things she's done. I've never gotten to see her live because... And I've talked to my friend about getting her into this state, and she just doesn't come to Mississippi. I know she's got a date coming up in Florida, but... doesn't come to Mississippi at all. Grace, get over here. We need to see you. That needs to happen for sure. All right, Grace Potter. Great. And another group that I really like a lot, and I've talked a lot about them, and you've probably heard me. You may be tired of hearing me talk about Rebecca and Megan Lovell. They are Locke and Poe. Locke and Poe is they're sisters. Rebecca and Megan are sisters. Rebecca plays guitar, and Megan plays lap steel. And they used to be the Lovell sisters, and there were three of them. The older sister, Jessica, decided to join the real world and get married and have children and get away from performing, whereas the family, the Lovell sisters, were playing like bluegrass and folk and a little soft rock and that kind of thing. But then Rebecca and Megan formed Larkin Poe in 2010 and have been playing on the road ever since and are just absolutely fantastic. Larkin Poe, if you're not familiar with them, you need to get familiar with them. They've been here in Jackson. That's where I absolutely fell in love with them. When you see them live, you're hooked. But they do a song called Bad Spell. Let's listen to Larkin Poe.
Bad spell over me. You got me ringing like a doorbell. You got me buzzing like a yellow bee. Boy, you cast a bad spell. A bad spell over me. And when I catch you, you're gonna catch hell. I'ma get you in the first degree. Oh, it's a bad spell. Talking about lightning and the rain. You're kicking sparks like a fuse box. You've been rattling my window panes. Boy, you cast a bad spell over me. You better beware, you better take good care. I'ma get you, it's a guarantee. Oh, it's a bad spell. Talking about
tremendous. They play the music themselves as well as, and when you see them live, you kind of like, well, that's it. They're just great. But and they're also great on record. But seeing them live is like quite an experience. It really is. It's tremendous. Well, moving ahead, there's a lady named Eva Cassidy, and I don't know how many people know about Eva Cassidy. She passed away in 1996 of melanoma, but. Before that, she was a tremendous artist with a beautiful voice, did many, 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 many great songs. But the record companies didn't know what to do with her because she did everything from to rock to jazz to blues to you name it. She pretty much did it and really didn't achieve the fame that she deserved until after her death, where she got more famous over in England and then in Europe, got really big time. And beginning to hear a little more of Eva Cassidy around here, she comes from like the writer-player genre of music, where she just actually... the recording we're about to play of her is her singing in a... Blues Club Alley, and she's singing live, and it's just one song, and let's listen to Eva and see what she has to say. Cassidy is wonderful. I've got a couple of her albums at the house, and our loss for sure to lose a person like that before she gained the fame that she so well deserved, because she's a top-notch artist and really does a great job. Eva Cassidy, I put on that album sometimes and listen to it and go, that's just amazing. She does Fields of Gold, which just is so, so good. And it's also part of that album that she has, with the album that I have at the house. And it's just tremendous. It's great to listen to. She does another great version of John Lennon's Imagine, which she really takes to another level. It's really a great, great opportunity. All right, moving on. A group that I really didn't know much about until I saw them live, and then I learned about Lake Street Dive. They are a group of people who have gone to the New England Conservatory of Music, and they've recorded 5 albums, and they do sort of an alternate type music, but and Rachel Price is their vocalist. She is actually from Nashville, but she studied in New England at the New England Conservatory, and they formed that group called Lake Street Dive. Very, very good, very, very different, but really worth taking the time to listen to what they have to say. So let's give a little listen to Lake Street Dive, and they've got a song called Good Together.
I know I'm not the first one to sleep you off your feet, but I believe we can make it. You know back where I came from, they're coming after me. With you I think of escaping, and if you stay by my side, send to a place we can hide in the earthly delights, and even better,
better, better, better,
we could be good together.
such positive sound. Lake Street Dive is just tremendous. I mean, they've got a female bass player. She plays mostly stand-up bass and plays some guitar bass as well, but mostly stand-up bass. A very good studied guitar player. You can tell that he is very studied and knows very well. Very, very tasteful. And another guy who plays horn and plays it so well. They're just tremendous. Lake Street Dive. You'll see them around from time to time. They were here maybe a year ago. Matter of fact, Arden Barnett brought them in at Ardenland over in Dueling Hall. They were pretty good. And then, well, we'll talk. I'm going to talk a little bit about. Do you have something up your sleeve, Gary? Gary, I called you out, Gary. You're not scary, Gary.
No, I was.
You're scary, Lance.
I'm absorbing everything today, and so. You know, you got time to run the Samantha Fish song, and then we can do it as an out, too. So we got time to do it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Samantha Fish, great artist. She was in town last night. Again, this is Arden Barnett brought her over to Dueling Hall. And some people went to – I wanted to go, and I didn't get to go there last night. I didn't have the opportunity to break free and get over there. But she's a songwriter, an amazing guitarist, and plays like a cigar box guitar, which she plays slide guitar on mostly. But she plays also regular guitars, Gibson guitars and Fenders and whatnot. Very, very good. You should just give a listen to Samantha. Samantha Fish.
Got a train set on a stage, not show my rage for you. I need to prove it to you. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference in me now? I can change, I can change, I can change. Oh, tell me.
Samantha Fish, what an amazing, amazing artist. Really is kind of bluesy, more bluesy than not, and plays mostly blues, but also does great rock and roll. Very good artist and another addition to the plethora of artists that are great that are out there that just really just amaze me with some of the things they do.
Well, and Samantha Fish and Larkin Poe both jam. I mean, they have a very upbeat, very heavy, almost overdrivey sound of the guitar. And Samantha, now, she can play some slide. I went through quite a bit of her work, and we're pretty familiar with Larkin Poe. But Samantha, if you like a good guitarist that can cut it up with a slide, she's one to go listen to.
Yeah, she does play an incredible slide, which is it blows you away at how good she can handle the guitar and how well she can handle the guitar. And she's been doing this professionally around Missouri and around St. Louis for a long, long time, playing in clubs and in festivals.
And she's a beauty, too.
Yeah, she's a beauty as well.
And I mean that in the most respectful way. I mean, she's absolutely beautiful. And when you see her holding that guitar, playing with a slide, you're like, hey, there's no way. And then she plays, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
All of a sudden, the idea of being a feminist goes right out the window because there's no such thing. But she's good. Samantha Fish, we're going to take her, use her as her outtake. And thank you for listening to the music segment here at the Ville, Mississippi studios. My name is Buddy Sloak, Rock and Roll Handyman Show. We'll be back after a short break. Let's let her take her out.
What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference in me now?
The Huntington's Disease Society of America South Region is hosting the third annual Mississippi Team Hope Walk Saturday, May 18th at 9 a.m. at Flowood Nature Park in Flowood. Huntington's disease is fatal and genetic. described as having ALS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's simultaneously. Join us in the fight against Huntington's disease at hdsa.org/THWMS.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it. If you're feeling anxious...
to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show at the Build Mississippi Studios. This is Buddy Sloak. I had a text that they were asking about the name of the Grace Potter song. And if Lance, if you can dig in the memory banks and find the picture of that album cover again and put it on the air, it'd be great. The name of that song is called The Lion, The Beast, The Beat. And if you've ever seen the video of that, it has a very, very long intro, which we did not play, but the intro is also pretty tremendous, but it would take up too much time for me to play I think it's probably almost a minute and a half intro, or maybe a two-minute intro, but that's the album cover right there. If you can see it, if you're watching us on TV or on your computer screen, and I hope that some people are.
It's a great album cover, too. I always like trying to find the album covers versus, like, the still shot of the band.
I know.
Because some of the album covers are great.
Some of the old albums, like the albums of the 70s and 80s.
The colors.
You look through them, and the artwork on it just blows you away sometimes. It's so
good. I wish we still saw a lot of that. That kind of handiwork on the artwork. I know the Grateful Dead and many others commissioned artists that made livings and became extremely famous for the work they did on album covers. the work inside of it as you opened it up. And so that's some of the, even if you don't have a record player, it's good to go junking sometimes to see if you can find some old albums.
Right.
And even if you don't play them, just the artwork in there that you'll find is amazing.
My son has a book at home that has nothing but, it's a book of album covers, and it's a real thick book, and it covers albums from way back when, and it talks about the artwork and albums. And I don't mean to go on with music a whole lot more, but I figured we better get that out about Grace Potter. A great artist, as a matter of fact. A great artist. All right. Back to handyman stuff. As I said earlier, a lot of people are growing vegetables right in their own little home, in their home plot, in their home, in a subdivision, in small houses. And they're still growing vegetables in like a flower area that they may have built themselves, or maybe a canister that holds it, whatever they can find. But a lot of people also want to build a greenhouse. And greenhouses are great things to have if you're really into that type thing, like Garden Mama and all our listeners probably are, and a lot of our listeners probably have greenhouses. But a good foundation for a greenhouse. Well, first what you need to do is find the area in which you're going to put the greenhouse. And from that area, remove about 8 inches of topsoil from it. And once you've done that, then you'll use landscape timbers as the outline of this whole area. And those landscape timbers are held together by 1x4 would do fine, 1x3 would do fine. But and it should be pressure treated because it's going to take a lot of moisture and a lot of... So that makes a part of your foundation correctly. At that point, what you do is you'd put a heavy fabric, like a landscape landscape paper down. You lay it right down, landscape it's not called paper, it's called something else. But anyway, it's a landscape.
The fabric?
Yeah, thank you. Landscape fabric. I'm not going to say what happened. But at any rate, landscape fabric on top of the 8-inch soil. And then on top of that, put about 2 inches of 3/4-inch limestone. And then you'll build your frame on top of that, and that will make such a wonderful foundation for your greenhouse. Now, at that point in time, a lot of people are building greenhouses 10 feet, maybe even longer and bigger than that. A lot of the framing in a greenhouse is very much like the framing in a regular house, and you can use regular 2x4s and do like a knee wall halfway up, which would be enclosed, and then the top would be just the studs, or just what we call the skeleton of the house framing that would make your roof rafters, and it would also allow spaces, air spaces inside your greenhouse. And you'd cover all of those spaces with a polycarbonate sheets of half-inch wall, and you'll also put polycarbon on the roof. And what it is translucent and allows UV light to come through and really helps make your greenhouse everything that it should. Yeah, there's a picture of one on the air right now. But that's basically what we're talking about. That greenhouse that we're looking at on the television right now was built basically with 2x4s and probably has the proper type foundation under it, because they probably did the research in order to get that. Now, a lot of people are using a product called FIPON. This is a fiberglass, translucent, corrugated type roofing. It's just like that tin roofing that is corrugated, but it's translucent, and it works great on building a greenhouse as well for roofing. So building a greenhouse, do your research. Matter of fact, you can go to the web and check it out, and there are many, many, many different ways to go about building a greenhouse and many type of greenhouses. You know, they're all different levels. I mean, maybe you just want a little building where you can do some work on some plants and whatnot. Maybe you want a she shed, you know, and it could be a place where you can actually go and relax, and yet a place that can be really, really nice. There are some people that really go crazy with greenhouses, and it becomes their passion, and they really care about that. So a greenhouse is a very important thing, and I think it's nice if it's built properly to withstand the elements and to stand up and have us able to grow things year-round. I like that idea. I really do. And I know Nellie would go crazy about that and talk for you days about that.
Yeah, she has a company that is her favorite, like something in Burnham or whatever, and I always forget the name, but it's one of those greenhouse companies that make them for, like, the king and queen, basically. And that's her dream, is to... Sure. Now, she has a great greenhouse, and it's big, and you have plenty of room. But the Lloyd and Burnham, I think, is the name of it. Uh-huh. So if you ever go see the architectural styles of those, and oh my God, I mean, you're talking about some handyman, and if you can cobble one of those together,
it's like the woodworking skills are
those
outrageous.
Things are outrageous, yeah. But you know, and this here, the one that we're seeing, is one of our listeners shared with us a week ago, and I wanted to put it back up there.
Look, really,
it looks great. I mean, it doesn't have to be huge. You can get look how much is getting done in this with plants, just
really
something that size. I mean, there's plants everywhere, and that's what you're doing, is protecting them, growing them, enhancing the environment for them, and giving yourself a little place to work.
You've got a fan up in the gable that can allow your air to circulate through as well.
You got a sink at the back end there. I mean, that's well done, and you know,
it really is.
Looks beautiful.
Yeah, good job, good job. All right, well, I think greenhouses are important. I think that everybody should get involved in that, because going to the grocery store is getting more expensive every day. Whew. I mean, just all you can say is, going to the grocery store is crazy, man. It's like, and then you even find like the cuts of meat that used to be pretty good. Well, they're just hard to find nowadays in a regular grocery store. But you have to go to specialty places to find some really good stuff. All right. Fixing a Hole. I think the Beatles did a song about that one time. But at any rate, fixing a hole in wallboard or sheetrock. Well, Most of the big box home centers, Revel Ace Hardware, all these places all have sheetrock patches, which work great on smaller holes, like maybe a doorknob that is smashed. And because the door stopper broke, the doorknob smashed into the sheetrock and actually has created a doorknob-sized hole in that sheetrock. Well, a sheetrock patch can fit over that. And the beauty of a patch, it's generally like almost like screen wire wrapped, but it's not screen wire. It's like fiberglass wire. And then it gets coated over with sheetrock mud, and it gets taped and floated. And that's all there is to it. It's self-sticking. It sticks itself right onto the patch, covers the hole, and then you go back with little sheetrock mud and smooth it on there very nicely, sand it a little bit, smooth it nicely again, and clean it, and then prime it and paint it. It's really a great way to patch sheetrock. Now, if you have a sheetrock hole that is a lot bigger, and you really, a patch is not going to work, you really need to replace it with wallboard or sheetrock itself. Sheetrock. I keep saying sheetrock. Sheetrock is a brand name. U.S. Gypsum calls their wallboard sheetrock. And that's become almost universal, like Scotch tape. Everybody knows what Scotch tape is. It's that clear plastic tape, cellophane tape. Well, sheetrock is the same sort of thing. But in order to patch a large hole in sheetrock, what you'd have to do is you cut out, let's say you have a 10-inch wide hole that's maybe 5 inches tall. So you want to cut out a piece of sheetrock from a scrap piece of sheetrock that will be the patch for that hole. And then you put this piece that you decide that is going to patch your hole over the existing hole and trace it. And trace it around and put a mark at the top so that you know that where the top is. And then take it down. And then on the sheetrock where you've traced the patch, you actually cut it out with a sheetrock saw or a jigsaw if you must, or whatever works for you. You can even do it with a sheetrock knife. It's a little bit difficult, but you can do it with a sheetrock knife. It's better done with a sheetrock saw than anything else. But at that point, what you've done is you've made your hole the same size as your patch. Very important to do. Now, beyond that, what you do is you need some backer in there. You need something behind the sheetrock to actually hold it in place. And what you'd do is you'd place your backer in, hold it up above the opening, and put a sheetrock screw through the sheetrock into the backer board or 1x4, 1x2, piece of plywood. Anything works as a backer on there pretty well. And if the hole's big enough, you'll need more than one backer, one on each side. Then what you do is you put your patch in there. First, butter the edges, a little bit with some joint compound, and then place the sheetrock patch in its hole where it belongs, and it should fit very easily. Screw it to the backers that you've applied already. And then once it's tight and in place, then you would tape and float the entire square or rectangular sheetrock patch with joint compound and sheetrock tape. And nowadays, sheetrock tape, you can get it in fiberglass, self-sticking fiberglass. You can also get it in paper. It comes in all sorts of different types. But it's once you've done that, it's important that you actually smooth it out as best you can by taping and floating. And sometimes that's not done in one day. You can, what you do is you put your sheetrock patch in there, and then you put a thin layer of sheetrock mud on and over the patch, and then you lie on your tape. You put your tape, you embed it in that sheetrock mud, and you run the putty knife over it, making sure that it's embedded properly. You let that dry for a while, like overnight. It's probably a pretty good idea. And once that's dry, the next day you sand it very lightly just to get rid of all the rough spots, and you go over it again with some more sheetrock tape. I'm sorry, with some more sheetrock mud or joint compound, so to speak, and it will actually smooth out very nicely, very easy to do. And you sand it smooth to where it's actually disappearing into the wall where it's becoming part of the wall. And at that point, if it does not have any ridges or bumps or anything at all, you may prime it, and it should be primed before you paint it. Once it's primed, then you can paint it. If you just paint it, what will happen is the sheetrock paper itself will absorb some of the paint inside, and it'll change the color of the paint just a little bit, or the sheen of the paint a lot more. So if you prime it first, you're actually sealing it by priming it. And then once you've sealed it, then you may paint it with whatever is painted in the rest of that room. And it works really well. So that's just basically how you'd patch a piece of sheetrock. Hey, let me tell you about Atlas Foundation. You want to talk about a company that knows how to take care of foundations? Well, they do. You talk about slab foundations and problems with them. Yeah, they're kind of all over Mississippi. Well, Tony Arpino knows the soils in Mississippi and can help you very much with any foundation problem that you have. You call at 1-800-256-1010. Tony Arpino, Atlas Foundation, 800-256-1010. Thank you, Atlas. We appreciate you listening to the Handyman Show, the Build Mississippi Studios. Here in Jackson, my name is Buddy Sloak. Be right back. Don't go away.
Get ready to immerse yourself in a celebration of wildlife, nature, and community spirit at the first ever Mississippi Wildlife Heritage Festival, set to take place May 3rd and 4th in historic downtown Leland, Mississippi. This free two-day extravaganza promises to be an unforgettable experience for outdoor enthusiasts and families alike, combining the best of Frog Fest, the 32nd Annual Crawfish Festival, and the 4th Annual Mockingbird Songwriters Music Festival, featuring some of Music City's biggest hit songwriters. All four festivals coming together for one real good time. For information and updates, visit LelandChamber.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at MS Wildlife Heritage Festival. This event is hosted in part by the Leland Chamber of Commerce, Mississippi Wildlife Heritage Museum, and the Highway 61 Blues Project. For more information on how to become a vendor or sponsor this event, visit us at LelandChamber.com.
How am I supposed to act right? You put on stuff like that, I'm supposed to act right. I can't do it.
There's not enough left in music today. You know, David Lee Roth and those guys, they always have, you get a lot of that. Yeah, you don't get any of that soul anymore. Like, they learned it from people like James Brown and all those guys.
Yeah,
you know, and you just don't get that
because
anymore.
It was real.
It
man.
Was.
It was real. It wasn't like it made up. Hey, I'm going to say a move right here. It was real. Thank you. That was great. I enjoyed it. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Build Mississippi and what they're all about. Well, Build Mississippi is an initiative of the Mississippi Construction Education Foundation. They've relabeled themselves as Build Mississippi. But the whole reason for existence is because the demand for skilled labor in this state is now at an all-time high, and it's going to be tremendously high in the upcoming future. So we lack the people who have the skills to do the electrical, plumbing, HVAC, heavy-duty equipment, boiler makers, all that type. Well, that's what Build Mississippi is all about. They have training facilities, one here in Brandon. It's in Pearl. The one in Pearl on Old Brandon Road. That's why I said Brandon. And there's also one up north somewhere. But They will also, Brent Bean is the president of that association, and he's going to be with us next week and tell us a whole lot more about what Build Mississippi is all about. I know they just had a skills competition about 2 or 3 weeks ago down at the Trade Mart, and some of their contestants who won prizes at that facility will be going to the national skill competition, which is done countrywide. So it's a pretty big deal. But Build Mississippi is a great organization, and they just want to make Mississippi a better place, and they're working day and night to find the people who can do things with their hands and teach them how to do them correctly and how to really be effective and be useful in the upcoming future. Build Mississippi. Great, great organization. All right. Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here. And we're talking more about all sorts of little things around the house. A lot of this time of year, a lot of people are pulling out their grills, whether it be a charcoal grill or a gas grill or whatever type it is, and they're starting to do a lot of outdoor cooking. Some people do that year-round, by the way, hey, good luck. I kind of do it year-round, too, but cleaning a grill grate is something that you have to be aware of. A lot of people want to use a steel brush to clean that grate with, and that is not recommended, because what can happen is a piece of that steel brush, one little wire bristle of that brush, can actually break off and end up on your griddle and end up in your food, and you end up swallowing it, and that piece of metal can create havoc inside your body, a big time havoc inside your body. So it's recommended that you clean your grill on a charcoal grill or gas grill or whatever. You clean that grate with a fiberglass cleaner, and there are plenty of cleaners out there that will work very, very well and won't hurt you if you happen to digest a piece of their product. But steel brush is no way to go, or any kind of steel, like steel wool or anything like that. Don't use that to clean your grill. That is, there's some danger involved in that. I know you say, I've been doing it for years, never had a problem. Yeah, well, you don't need but one problem, and then it's a big one. So, you know, maybe you've been doing it for years and it seems okay. It's not okay. I really think that the grills need to be cleaned properly with something other than a metal cleaning device. You'll be happy you did. All right. DIY people who've just gotten a hold of their first drill and or power screwdriver, the first thing they try to do is take a screw, hold it up, put the screwdriver in the Phillips head, if it was, let's say it's a Phillips head, put the screwdriver in the Phillips head, and then full power, all the way, kind of drive a screw. Well, that's going to give you nothing but a heartache all the time. The best way for not only a DIY person to do it themselves, but also a lot of professionals do this long before a screw goes into any kind of wooden hole or wooden area, they pre-drill. They do a drill smaller than the shank of the screw that's going in there, and then the screw goes in much easier. And the way to put a screw in is start slow. I mean, your drill has a power drive on it, which goes from slow speed to fast speed. It's kind of like a gas pedal, if you will. Just pull the trigger slowly and start turning that screw a little slow. And as it gets deeper and deeper into the hole of the where it's going, then you can increase the power and increase it a little more, and actually pre-sink the screw if that's necessary, so that you may fill it properly later. And you'll be happy you did it that way, because believe me, it can save you a lot of aggravation. Going full power all the time is not the way to do it, and that can cause major problems. So make sure that you use your screw the right way and get it done. That'll help you so very much. But most screws going into wood should be pre-drilled, that's for sure, particularly when you're working with hardwoods. And sometimes you might even need a hammer drill or a drill that actually does a pounding. I have two type drills at home. I have a regular battery-operated power drill, and then I have also a battery-operated hammer drill, which is stronger than the power drill and can actually drive screws into concrete. Very, very good tool, very useful tool, and a very good tool to have around the house. So as you become a do-it-yourselfer, the more tools you'll begin to accumulate. And when you are a do-it-yourselfer, it's always a good idea to have more tools, and it'll help you so very much. And then what you need to do is kind of keep them in good shape, keep them sharp if they have blades, particularly skill saws. To use a dull blade on a skill saw and have it burn through the wood isn't really doing much good for anybody at all. The best thing to do is change the blade and get a new blade on there. And buy a quality blade, one that will last for a long time, one that will do a good job. And they do make blades that are kind of universal. They're cross-cut blades, and yet they'll do not really a rough cut, a smoother cut. And then they make also blades that will do a rough cut, but also will give you a cut really easily in really tough wood. So skill saws are a great thing to have as well. And most of them today are battery-operated, and you can get them in different voltage ratings. And you won't be sorry that you had one once you've gotten to it. But it's important to know that the battery has a life, and you should use it all up. It's a good idea anytime for anybody who has battery-operated power tools to have two batteries. Use that one battery, and when you use it, don't take it out and put it back in the charger so it charges back up. Use it all the way out, and if the project you're doing didn't use all the power in that battery that's on your drill out, save it. Save it. Use it again the next time and the next time. And then when it finally starts, there's no power left, then it comes out and goes on the charger, and the extra battery that you have goes on to the power saw. It helps a great deal. Hey, you've been listening for a couple hours to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here at Super Talk at the Build Mississippi Studios. My name is Buddy Sloak. We do it each and every Saturday. Come back and join us. Tell your friends that the Handyman's on Super Talk, and you can pick us up any day of the week at going to supertalk.fm. Check it out. See you later. Talk to you next week. Buddy Sloak.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder. Bye-bye.
When you listen to Super Talk, you hear our team working for you.
Great information.
Drilling down and getting to the core of the issues that impact you.
They give you, like, the information you need to know.
Super Talk, Mississippi.
Open Season Properties has a team approach philosophy that ensures your needs are of the highest priority, whether it's rural land sales, residential, or commercial properties. Go to OpenSeasonProperties.com to learn more.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Hey, I'm here with Alex Murray of Auto Innovation.
At Auto Innovation, we want to change your car buying experience. When you're in the market for a quality pre-owned vehicle, please come see us. We want to make friends, not just customers. All eligible vehicles are inspected by a Master Tech mechanic and come with a limited powertrain warranty on us. We are located on Highway 51 in Ridgeland. Come by and see us or check out our inventory online at autoinnovation.net. Let us change your car buying experience.
Auto Innovation, Highway 51 in Ridgeland.
ESISupply.net.
It's not if you're going to have a spill at your business or workplace, it's when.
ESISupply.net.
Exorbent pads by the bundle or roll.
ESISupply.net.
Socknet boom products, oil gator, oil dry spill kits, and much more.
ESISupply.net.
Take it from Scary Gary.
If it can spill, it's gonna.
ESI Supply, 601-933-4910. That's 601-933-4910 or online at
ESISupply.net.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.